You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
So we are going to have communion, but I want to preach a message on the Lord's Supper, and I think it's going to bring maybe some clarification on what the institution of communion is all about. I think a lot of times when people come to the table, the Lord's table, that you put the focus on yourself and maybe, am I unworthy? Am I worthy to take the fruit of the cup? And am I worthy to take the bread? And we're going to look at a passage in its context today, and I think it's going to clear up a lot of misconceptions that people may have with communion, because we read a part of it almost every time that we have the Lord's Supper, but we don't ever read the context, and I thought it was very important that we did. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to go there, or your Bible app on your phones, or your smart device. And we're going to start in verse 17 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in that, in this passage, the Apostle Paul is actually doing a lot of correcting in the whole letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a church that were, in their own estimation, very spiritual, but they lacked something that was important, and that was love. And one of the things that was evident, and this is important for us in the modern church, was that they didn't appreciate each other. They didn't appreciate the body of Christ. And that can happen in any church. And my prayer is that that is not happening at Living Word Chapel, that we have great appreciation for every person that calls themselves a follower of Christ, whether you are affluent or not, whether you are, whatever ethnicity you come from, does not matter. At the foot of the cross, we're all equal to Jesus Christ. And so Paul is going to deal with some of the problems that were going on with the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to start in verse 17, and this is what he says. He says, but in the following instructions, okay, let's just stop right there. So he's saying, I'm gonna teach you something. I'm going to instruct you in how you should approach the Lord's table. He said, cannot praise you. How many of us have started out the Lord's Supper with that? He said, in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. The assembly, okay? So, Corinthians, something is going on with you guys when you come together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. So, there's the whole foundation right there. The whole foundation to this passage is that there's a problem. The problem is that there's division. And though they're one in Christ, they're not acting like they're one in Christ. And I know that there's no one in this 8:45 a.m. service that has any problems with anybody else. That's a 10:30 a.m. service, right? No, the reality is that there's an enemy, Diabolos, is an enemy that wants to penetrate and separate. And so he's talking about relationships here, okay? He says, there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, he said, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. What he's saying is that, those of you that think that you're approved by God and you put yourself above others, I want you to take note. When you meet together, verse 20, when you meet together, you are really not interested in the Lord's Supper. Now, let me pause and say something important. If you read Jude chapter 1, verse 12, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude is teaching about false teachers that are, they love the, what we call the love feast, or what the Bible called the love feast. That was how they would come together and eat a meal, a feast together, and in that they would celebrate the Lord's Supper in it. So they would actually eat a meal. It's important for us to understand that. Every time they celebrated the Lord's Supper, it came with a meal. Now think about it. The Lord had what he called the Last Supper. Amen? And in the Last Supper, he instituted, and it was Passover, he instituted what we now commemorate as the Lord's Supper. In that, okay? So when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you, hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. Just kind of process that. So you come, and because other people are not there, you don't care, you go ahead and eat. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. So that teaches us that they were having real wine. Okay, it wasn't grape juice. It was real wine. So now we have grape juice so you guys don't get drunk. He said, verse 22, don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? Now that helps us with the context. So what it says is that there's more affluent people that are able to get there to this meal. The poor are probably doing what? Working or serving in some capacity. They're not able to get there. And he said, you're shaming the poor because you're eating all the food before they come. And then you're drinking all the drink. You're getting drunk. He said, don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? He says, well, I certainly will not praise you for this. Now, that's the context. Now he's going to go on and say what we read every time we have the Lord's Supper, because this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. He says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So he's talking about the institution of the Lord's Supper, what it means, what it represents. And he's saying, you're not, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're not representing the Lord if you're eating all the food before others come. If you're drinking before others come, he says, you're not following what the table is all about. And then in verse 27, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Now, most people take that and they think, oh, I'm so unworthy. I gotta deal with me. I'm not good enough. I can't come to the Lord's Supper. He's not saying that. How many of us are worthy to come to the Lord's table? None of us are. We all fall short. We're coming there because of Jesus. The Lord's table represents that he's worthy. Amen? So he says, so anyone who eats his bread, drinks his cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or you drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, who's the body of Christ? Us, his people. You are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and you're sick and even some have died. And what he's saying right there is that when you don't honor the body, when you don't honor your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you put yourself above them, you're misrepresenting everything that the cross is all about. You're not seeing, you're not grabbing a hold of everything that Jesus is about. Verse 31, but if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So this is important right here. There's a difference between the world and the church. There should be a big difference between people that don't walk with Jesus and people that do. People that walk with Jesus don't think of themselves above anybody else. People that walk with Jesus are going to wait for the poor or the rich or the middle class. People that walk with the Lord are going to be different, right? So if verse 33, so my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, excuse me, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat at home, so that you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. You see the context? I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. But this was so important to Paul that he wrote it in a letter. The interesting thing about this passage right here is you don't see Peter teach on the Lord's Supper. You don't see the Apostle John teach on the Lord's Supper. The Apostle John brought it out in the Gospel of John, but he brought the institution of the Lord's Supper because Jesus gave that. Every church, every part of the body of Christ has always celebrated the Lord's Supper. Amen? But we don't celebrate it because we're worthy. We celebrate it because he's worthy. We don't come to the to the Lord's table with condemnation. We come there because he saved us by his grace. He restores us. Amen? So I've got three takeaways, three quick takeaways, okay? The Lord's table is a place that we should experience God's acceptance. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. What I've come to find out about Jesus Christ is he doesn't reject people. People reject him. People crucify him. But on the cross, Jesus said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the cross, to me, is a place of acceptance. It's a place where everybody's welcome at the table. It's not the Lord's table is not a quiz that you have to pass. It's not a test that you flunk or fail. It's not about you. It's about him. When I think about Jesus and what happened at the Last Supper, I think about who was at the Lord's table. Who ate with him? A person who would betray him. Ate at the Lord's table. A person who would deny him three times. Ate at the Lord's table. Nine persons who would run away from him in his greatest time of need. Ate at the Lord's table. And that's why Paul reminds the church in Corinth something that they already knew. They knew that this verse 23 and 24, he said, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself, that on the night that he was, hear me, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it on the night that he was betrayed. He gave thanks to the Father for it. How many of us have ever been betrayed? And how many of us know that when we come to the Lord's table, that we say, Lord God, no matter who's betraying us, we're going to walk in your love. We're going to walk in your forgiveness. We're going to walk in your acceptance. And then I see as it plays out, then he gave thanks to God, the Father, for it. Then he broke it in pieces, and he said to each one of them, the one who would betray him, the one who would deny him, and the ones that would run away from him, when he had his greatest need, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. I need the body of Jesus. You need the body of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. So when we come around the table and we have communion, we celebrate what you might have grown up in a denomination where you would hear it said, the Eucharist. Anyone ever heard the Eucharist? Anyone, just raise your hand. The Eucharist. Eucharist means giving thanks. You come around and you come around the bread, the wafer, the cracker, the tortilla, whatever that thing is. Unleavened bread. And you say, Lord, I give thanks. Now, this is important right here because some of you in here maybe you are not a follower of Jesus, you know. So you come around the Lord's table, and you're like, "Well, can I take it?" Well, let me say this: when you take the bread and the fruit of the vine, you're remembering what the Lord Jesus did for you. Are you with me? And so it only makes sense to me, just biblically, just without any kind of religiosity, just biblically. How can we remember what the Lord has done for us if we haven't made him the Lord of our lives? Are you with me? Now you can take the bread, the wafer, whatever, you can take it, but the reality is it only makes sense whenever he's become your Lord, because you're saying this bread represents your body, Jesus. I'm remembering that body went to the cross at Calvary. I'm remembering that the blood that was shed was the blood that atones for my sins. I believe that because of what you've done on the cross, that I'm completely forgiven. And because I am completely forgiven, I can, here it comes. I can completely forgive others. You see, the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table, here's number two, is the place that we should experience God's forgiveness, not God's condemnation. Nobody comes to the Lord's table worthy in your own self. At the Lord's table, we remember that he is the source of our forgiveness. We remember all that he's done for us. In fact, Jesus in Matthew's gospel, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he met with his disciples, they had the Last Supper. And it says in verse 27, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, which is being poured out for many. For what? For forgiveness of sins. So every time that we drink that cup, guess what happens? If you remember what Jesus did for you, you can say, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that you offered on the cross at Calvary, and that is complete forgiveness. And that means you don't have to walk in condemnation. And that means that you can not only receive your forgiveness, but you can offer forgiveness to those that have wronged you. Because let me tell you, until you do that, This is why communion is so important. Until you forgive the people that have hurt you, until you forgive them, you'll remain stuck in the narrative of bitterness and hostility in your life. And that's a cancer. That's a cancer in our soul. And I think this is vital because the Lord's table is not a place of condemnation. And I think we put the focus on us, on you. You know, we say, you know, do introspect. Are you worthy to take this bread? Are you worthy to take this cup? It's not about you. It's about Him. You need it. I need it. Paul reiterates this institution of the Lord's Supper when he says in verse 25, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and His people. So that's important right there, right? This cup is the new covenant between God and His people. So when you think, well, can I take the Lord's Supper? Can I take it? Well, are you His people? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you walking with the Lord? It has nothing to do with the church denomination. It has nothing to do with where you're at. It has to do with who you're with, and that's you and Him. Amen? And so sometimes we see in churches that you can't take communion because you're not a denomination. You're not this denomination. You go there and you go, I want to take communion. I love the Lord Jesus. Well, you can't because you're not this denomination. That's not biblical. Doesn't matter where you go to church. If you're a child of God, you are the church. Are you with me? And so you're a follower. It says it's this new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. So Jesus shed His blood so that he could make it real. It's a reality. I am the child. I am a child of God because of what Jesus did for me. I am born again because I put my trust in Him. I am in the family. And guess what? If you're white and I'm Mexican, we're still brother and sister, brother and brother. It don't matter. Because of Jesus. And He said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. It's important to know that when we come to the Lord's table, that is a place that we find forgiveness. So you should leave the Lord's table saying, thank you, Jesus. Here's the third takeaway, which I think is the most important takeaway, right? The Lord's table or the Lord's Supper is a place that we should experience a love and appreciation for the body of Christ. We should love each other a lot more at the Lord's table. Not only each other, not only those that are sitting here, but all the body of Christ. I am so saddened when I go places and I see believers that are at odds with each other. I am so distraught when I see Christians, Christ followers, that say, I can't stand that person, and they go to church together. No, really. I think that kind of a attitude destroys us from the inside out. It denies the very power of the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did not take unforgiveness with Him. He took forgiveness. He teaches me that I cannot carry around unforgiveness. It's not good for me. It will destroy me. Now, this is important right here. See, Paul, in this passage right here, verse 17, verse 18, verse 20, verse 33, verse 34, he says, when you assemble, when you come together, he's talking about the community of believers. The judgment comes when we don't treat the community of believers the way that God would have us treat each other. We should love each other. We should respect each other. We should honor each other. We should grow in that commitment. Now, let me tell you that there's an enemy in the playing field of life. There's an entity who's dark and he hates us. He disguises himself as an angel of light who wants to come in and wants to destroy churches. He wants to divide you. Verse 18, I hear there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. He says, I believe it. Because he started out this letter by saying this, I hear there's divisions among you. Some of you say you're from Paul. Some of you say you're from Peter, Cephas. Some of you say you're from Apollos. Some of you say you're from Christ. Is Christ divided? May it never be. How Paul starts out this letter. How many of you get a temptation? Well, I'm of Pastor James. I'm of this church, and we're better than the other church, or we're of this church, and the other church says they're better than us. We're not better than anybody. We're the body of Christ. We should be walking in the love of Christ. We should be walking in the love of God. Paul says in verse 29, if you eat the bread and you drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and you're drinking God's judgment upon yourself. What's he telling us? Make things right. Every time that we spend time together, there's a potential that we're going to offend somebody. The more I talk, the more potential I have of offending people. My wife said, "What?" She'll tell me, "Why did you say that?" I said, "I don't know. It's my mouth. My mouth." He said, "If you do not honor the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." Jesus, he talked to the Jews about if you're going to go and take a sacrifice to the temple, if you go to the altar and you take a sacrifice, this is what Jesus said. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, or you have something against someone, I would even say, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Because if you do it with the wrong attitude, your heart's in the wrong place. You cannot come to God and say, God, look at what I'm bringing you, when you're hating everybody around you. That right there, it demands that. That takes that out of the equation. That right there, that cross represents the forgiveness and love of God. And you tell me if I'm wrong when I say, when you have hatred in your heart, when you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you don't get sick. You feel sick on the inside. But there's something that Jesus does. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. What we do, what we live, what we walk is real. Because Jesus Christ is real. And Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And he's got the power, the ability to change us from the inside out. Don't worry about the people around you. Let him change us. And that's exactly what the table the Lord's table is all about. So Living Word Chapel Oracle, those that are watching online, communion is about the goodness of God. Communion is about a new covenant that was better than the old one, and the old one was good. Communion is about your restoration. It's about the forgiveness. It's about the love of God. But as we celebrate communion in a few minutes, what I want you to do is the introspect that you're going to do is not about how good you are. You're not good. You need Jesus. Let me just say that. The introspect that you're going to do is, Lord, if there's something that I have with someone in my family, if there's something that I have with someone in my church, if there's something that I have, Lord God, I'm going to take the step in what's in my power to resolve that with you, Lord God. And if I can resolve it with them, give me the power. Let there be no divisions among you. Amen? That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. So here's how we're going to end. You've got your elements. You've got your bread, your wafer, and your cup. This is going to be you and God and others. I mean, if you have something that you need to maybe settle, maybe do it today. Even if you got to go to someone today and say, you know what, I love you. I maybe have not acted that way, but I love you. Do it today. But this is a time that we have that we let God heal the hurt, heal the bitterness, heal the unforgiveness in our life. Amen? So that we can be healed. And so the praise team is gonna take us. They're gonna close the service out with a song. And I want us to take time. We got time. Take time right now and spend it with Jesus. And if you're coming to the Lord's table today and you say, well, I don't know if I have a relationship with Jesus, today's the day that you say, God, I accept you. Jesus, I choose to follow you. It's simple. I choose to follow you. I give you my life and then partake of the Lord's Supper. Are you with me? It's not a, you don't have to pass a test. You have to bring a Savior into your life by confessing him as your Lord.
Is communion, your body broken, the cup we're drinking is bittersweet, the gift of friendship, true is salvation, born of your suffering on Calvary. Stained too small.
Had some amazing time alone with the Lord, and that you were able to not only receive His forgiveness, but offer that forgiveness to others. Like my husband said, the cross is all about forgiveness. And when we say, "I can't forgive," we're really putting ourselves above Jesus. Because Jesus forgives everything, past, present, and future. And He gives us that ability to be able to forgive others. So just want to encourage you, as you leave today, make it right. If there's things, make it right. It's not worth it to lose your peace and to actually stunt God being able to stop God being able to work in your life, because when you have unforgiveness, you block Him, because that's who He is. So I just want to encourage you, let the Holy Spirit continue to work on you today. Make it right so that you can continue to grow in your walk in the Lord. Amen. So we're going to turn the lights on and have some music, hug on somebody, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing. God bless. For Mother's Day. Yes, we'll see you next week for Mother's Day. God bless.